Tonight's show, we're going to be discussing more practical ramifications of ribbis. Therefore, I must make the disclaimer for all halacha l'maisa questions of ribbis. I definitely think one should consult their own rav. It can get very complicated. It can get very touchy. We'll see tonight. It can be very awkward with people you lend and borrow money from in the community, friends and families. So you really want to make sure you either learn all of Hilchas Ribbis really well, or more likely have someone you can at least discuss all of Hilchas Ribbis really well and know exactly guidance of how to deal with different issues. So we'll start over here with a Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Ayin Hey. It's really a Mishnah. We all know of Ribbis in the simple version. Interest. You lend me money and I demand you pay me back more money. So we mentioned last week, that's fine with a non-Jew. So for example, you have a Gentile, a non-Jew. You can do ribbis both ways, borrow or lending. Simple ribbis is, here's money, pay me back at the end of whatever the date is, with an interest. We're going to learn tonight that ribbis comes in many, many other forms, besides for just in forms of money, compensation. It can come in other forms. We're going to discuss something called ribbis devarim. I don't give you any more money, but I give you more words, tibor, and things like that. So the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, towards the end of the fifth parak, not only is there ribbis at the time of the paying of the loan, which is obviously the simple ribbis, there's something called an advanced ribbis and something called a post ribbis. Ribbis mukdemes, that's before the loan, and mucheris means after the loan takes place. And the Mishnah explains, Ketzad, no, you said ain't of lalalve semen. Let's say I know a fellow, and I decide he's probably someone who likes to lend money to people. So I have my eye on him that he's going to be the right guy that I want to borrow money from. He never made a loan. There was no payment. There was no decision of a loan. But I have a feeling that he's going to want to lend me money 3 months from now. Says the Mishnah, so what? V'mishalech lo. So I give him an early gift. V'oimer b'shvil sheteluni. I tell him, you know, this gift, these flowers for Shabbos are because in the future I'm going to want to borrow money from you. Says the Mishnah, zuhi ribbis mukdemes. That's considered, that's ribbis mukdemes. That's ribbis before the fact, and it's also asr. It's only asr midrabanan, but it's still asr. It's not mutter. Ribbis before the fact. Then the Mishnah says, what happens? Loi vehemenu. That's I already borrowed the money. Vehechzalai samoisav. And I returned the money. We're done. I paid you back, you're off my back now. Done. So most of us assume that once you paid back the money, it's got to be over. Says the Mishnah, no. V'u mishalech loy. I send you a gift. This is very, very negeh. Let's take an example, someone lent someone money, and 5 months later, before Pesach, or before Sukkot, you want to send them a present. You send them an Esrik box, you send them a menorah, you send them a bottle of wine, just as a token of appreciation. Says the Mishnah, why am I sending it to you for Omar? And I say, Bishvil mo'osechu shor b'teilo satzli. I appreciate the fact that you gave me your money instead of either lending it to a guy, which we spoke last week, or you could have left it in the bank and collected some form of an interest. You gave it to me interest free. I'm so appreciative here. Here's a bottle of wine. Here's this, that, the other. Says the Mishnah, Zuhi Ribbis Mucheres. You're not allowed to do that.
It's so, not with money, Rabbi. It's like I give somebody my lawnmower or my car for the day or the week. So it has a value. And then he comes back.
So we're going to talk about that tonight. That's not a loan. That's borrowing. The classic Shaila is, let's say you borrow a car. And then the question is, how do you return the gas? So we're going to talk about that. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Yochanan Vosner. I believe he's Shmuel Vosner's grandson. I think he's a dying somewhere today. Maybe a Muncie. So he discusses how does that work. But the Shulchan Aruch writes clearly that anything that's meant to be used and being brought back be'en is not borrowing. That's called a Shaila. So if it would be an object that I borrow and use and give back to you, that's not lending. That's called a she'ela. So that would not be subjected to the rules of ribbis. That's why cars are not subjected to the rules of ribbis. The gas, yesh ladan. You consume the gas, it's gone. So maybe gas is like I lent you the gas, now you're paying me back the gas. So if you pay me back a drop more that was in the tank, that could be ribbis on the gas, not on the car, ribbis on the gas.
But the concept of nesha, right? So by thanking somebody, you know, in that context, it sounds like that's not what everyone had in mind here.
Yeah, we're going to get to that later tonight also. If you're allowed to say thank you when people lend you money.
Right.
It's a big discussion.
I was saying.
But okay. We'll see. We'll hopefully get to it all tonight. If not, we might have to leave it over till next week.
Perishable.
Yeah.
You give somebody something perishable and they have to return it. They have to return the exact same item.
So we're going to talk about also tonight. Every Shiloh, when you borrow half a cup of milk, and then your mom should sit there measuring half a cup of milk, or let's say, for example, you borrow 3 eggs. You're going to measure that these eggs were the exact same size as those eggs. So we'll see there's a certain svar of ein makpidi. People don't care about certain things. The question is, let's say I borrow 3 eggs and I only return 2 eggs. Or let's say I borrow 3 eggs and return 4 eggs. That's the difference. One act. So Bli Neder will talk about these types of shaylos hopefully sometime tonight. So the Mishnah continues. Reb Shimon Oimer, Yesh Ribis Devarim. There's a new concept. Again, will Bli Neder break down each one of these things and discuss them at length, I hope. But let's just see the whole piece of the Mishnah in the Gemara. There's another thing called Ribis Devarim. What's that? Lo Yoimer Loi, don't say Tim Da, you should know. Ki bo ish ploining, you're not complaining. The way that we have the gears in the Mishnah, it means that the loy vishen tell the malva. The malva wants to know that a certain godel is coming to town. It's important for him to know. So the loy is not permitted to go over to the malva and tell him that information, because he's giving pleasure to the malva. Now this is all assuming that you normally wouldn't have done that. I mean, if you're my next door neighbor and I tell you all that's going on in town, so I give this also. Here I'm doing it specifically as I will call it a favor. Says the Mishnah, ve'elu oivim beloy sasei. All of these people are involved in loaning the ribis are all over a lot. Who? Hamalve, haloive, haorev. So all the parties that are held accountable for ribis is the malve and the loive, which we mentioned last week is unique. Usually the nizik is not blamed for hezek. It happened to him. Here the loive is equally, not exactly equally, but he's also blamed. The loive, the orev, the cosigner, the edim are held accountable. So there's a shaila to what extent that the Edim are held accountable. Meaning, if I would have never made the halva without Edim, so the Edim are mamash left neiver, they're causing this to happen. Because without the Edim, I would never lend beribis. But let's say I would anyways lend beribis, so the Edim are playing a lesser role, that's a discussion. Even the scriber, the guy who's the legal writer in the office, the guy who types up, prints out the contract is also in a violation, even the cipher. So the chayim of akasha, why? You can make a loan without paper. There's something called a milval peh. You can't do milval peh beribis either. So why is the cipher held so accountable? He's really an irrelevant piece of the pie. You can have the halva without it. So some people, taka, will never loan without a piece of paper. They want to make sure they get their money back. That's a discussion as well. Says the Mishnah, all these people are in violation. Why? So each one is going to have to figure out which iser he's in violation. But everyone's in trouble. Ribis is something you want to stay far away from. Everyone and their cousin is going to be held accountable. Okay. Says the Gemara, further Tanya. Let's say you were involved in a loan. And it happens to be that the guy you borrowed money from, you normally don't greet him. I'm going to use that word very carefully, as we'll see more Bli Neder. But you don't normally say shalom to him. You meet him on the street, you guys don't talk, you don't like him, whatever it is, but now he lent you money. Says the Gemara, she'asa l'hakdim lo shalom. How do I know you're not allowed to give him shalom? You're not allowed to give him, hey, what's up, how's it going? Tam Leimet says in the Pasuk, neshech kol dover. The Pasuk says that anything that bites kol dover, asha yishach afilu dibur asa. So it's a little bit of a play on words over here. We learn, instead of the word being davar, we're saying it's a dibur. I mean, neshech kol dibur. There's ribbis on any, or even on talking. Even though there's no value to it, you can't put a price on it, but if there's a certain speech, and we'll have to discuss this much more, that is somewhat valued, that would also be also from a loiva to give to the malva. Okay, so let's now deal with, this is the main sugya in the Gemara, then we'll deal with all these things halacha l'maaseh. But before we see that, you got to see a gevaldik comment from the Torah. The Torah writes in Kuf Samach, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, two Ma'oids. Tzarech Lizar Adam, people have to be careful, the Issa Ribis. Two extras, not just Tam Ma'oid or Tzarech. Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Tzarech Adam Lizar B'Issa Ribis. So the Prisha, in his commentary, not here in Yerideya, but in Choshe Mishpat, he's bothered with this Ma'oid, Ma'oid. Well, what does the Torah want? He points out there's three places where the Torah writes Ma'oid, Ma'oid. One is here. One is in Choshe Mishpat Siman Tes. Choshe Mishpat Siman Tes is talking about don't take bribes, Laisikhu Shoichat, which obviously is very tempting. When you're a judge, you're not supposed to take bribes. And it's really a third place. It's Siman Chaf Aleph and Evan Ezer. What's Siman Chaf Aleph and Echaz Evan Ezer? All the things you're not supposed to do with women, you're not supposed to be doing things with. The touching, hugging, kissing, all that's the whole Siman Shulchan Aruch that talks about whom you can't and can't touch and look at, all those things. Says the Prisha, why are those the three places where the Torah writes Ma'oid, Ma'oid? Says the Prisha Pashat. He says, number three, Kasav Loshen Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Shtei Pomim. It says twice, Kan B'Sheichad, V'Chein B'Ribis. He himself speaks out as really a third place. Why? Reish Simen Kuf Samach, Va'avur Shiroiv B'nei Odom Lo'atim Acher Chemdas Hamamim. Says the Torah, says the Prisha, I'll tell you why. Because here in Sheichad, is money. People are very easily swayed when they see the desire of mammonis. It's so easy to fall into a trap of ribbis because it's money. Therefore, the Torah goes out of his way to say you got to be extra careful because this taiva is very strong for mammonis, especially something like ribbis. I would add, perhaps, because in the secular world, it's not deemed as bad. But you don't have to write, ma'od ma'od, don't beat up people, because no one beats up people. But since in the secular world, it's very common, and even in the Torah world, it would have made a lot of sense if not for the fact that the Torah prohibited it because it's dangerous and it hurts other people. So therefore, the Torah writes, you have to be very, very careful when it comes to ribbis. The Shulchan Aruch writes, number four, he's not as extreme as the Torah, he just writes, tzarech lizor b'is ribbis, you got to be careful. People have to have their antennas up whenever it comes to ribbis. The kama lavin emruba, the many lavin a person can violate with ribbis, vafilu, haloive, vahanoisnoi, vahore, vahedemoivrim, as we mentioned earlier, everyone is involved in the equation. However, etzerama, vein chilik bein emalva la'oni oil asher, there's no difference if the loive is poor or rich. We spoke about this a little last week. The Torah, at least in one place, makes it sound like, maybe two places, that the loive is always the bottom end of things. He's desperate for money, he needs money, he's poor, so don't overcharge him. What happens if the loiva is wealthier than the malva? The loiva has millions of dollars in value, but he needs cash. So maybe then there's no ribbis. Zok the Torah, no, it's still us. So the Ramah adds here also. Doesn't make a difference who the recipient of the loan is. Loans with interests of Jews are prohibited. Ay, v'hod the loiva oiver, says the Ramah, another interesting rule. When is the loiva oiver? Dafka b'ribbis deraisa. It's only if it's ribbis deraisa. Ribbis deraisa means ribbis ketsutza, which means we made up from the get-go, from the time of the loan, you are going to pay me principal plus interest. Avol beribbis derabanan, but what we call ribbis derabanan, which is going to be most of tonight's share, ainay over el mishum lefneiver. The loiva is over something. He's not over ribbis, but it'll be over lefneiver, because I'm helping you violate ribbis. So again, according to the Ramah, if the loan itself is a loan of the Rabbanon ribbis, you're not even ribbis, sir, you'll be over lefneiver. Again, not much better, but you're still going to be in some form of a violation. So that's why ribbis is tricky. Both parties are going to be held accountable. So you got to learn hilchos ribbis as a loiva and as a malva to make sure you're not violating either sides of the equation.
So lefneiver, though, is deraisa. So.
Right. Lefneiver could be perhaps deraisa. The question is when it's an only innocent Rabbanon, how that works, but you're correct. That's a good point. Then the Shulchan Aruch says something that many people are familiar with. Kala noisim beribis, anyone who gives ribis, meaning the malve, the chasav mismoititim. This is a Gemara. The Gemara says by us and Bab Metzia that anyone who gives ribis, he will have a financial decrease. His money will go down. Ukiilu kafar b'yitzias Mitzrayim, and he's a kafir in the fact that we left Mitzrayim. Ubelekei Yisrael, and he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch. Now 9 out of 10 people, and you stop and you ask them about ribbis, they'll tell you, and he doesn't go, he will not experience tchiyas ha-mesim. That's a famous line. Where does that line come from? It's not in Shulchan Aruch. If you look at number 5, Rabbi Yamin Kohn, Nesevech Chagas Yamin, he quotes it. He says, Oid Kosvu HaRishayin. It comes from the Rishayin. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. As far as I know, it's not a Gemara. Shehamalva b'ribis, anyone who loans b'ribis, ain't come to tchiyas ha-mesim. He will not get up for tchiyas ha-mesim. The gam ein malach melitz melamed olav schos. And there's no malach that's going to say anything nice about him. So it's a pretty scary situation to the amal v'bribis, the summary shame that hold is considered to be a sheifich dom. It's like you're a murderer. A person wouldn't want to come up achem eves, because Baruch Hu puts him in the circle of murderers. He says, I never touched a person. I don't own a gun. I'm anti, the Second Amendment. I'm against guns. Why am I over here? He says, amal v'bribis. Amal v'bribis, summary shame say, is kilu shavcha dom. So it's a very, very serious prohibition. Even though, again, 9 out of 10 times, most of us will not be over, hopefully, Issa Deraisa. We're not doing Ribbis Ketuzah, but Ribbis Derabbanan is also something we need to be careful, and therefore we need to learn tonight some of the basic rules to at least know enough to know what to stay clear of and what to avoid. So we saw in the Gemara, there's a concept called Ribbis Muktemes and Ribbis Mucheres. Ribbis before the transaction and Ribbis post the transaction. How's the Shulchan Aruch describe it? Number 6 says the Shulchan Aruch, also lahaktim ribis. You're not allowed to give the ribis before, or to delay it, meaning after the payment was given. Ketzad. Again, in the regular world, I don't know. You know, if you stop most people on the street and ask them, would that be a problem? They'd be like, hey, what's the problem? There's no loan yet. Again, it's ribis to rabban. Chazal were afraid. Ketzad. Noisin ain of little voice me menu. I put my eye on that. I want to borrow money from you. Vayimishagaloy deron, and therefore I send you a present. Now the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, what do I say when I send you the present? I mean, I send you a beautiful gift basket. And it says in the gift basket, P.S., I might need a loan in 2 weeks. It doesn't say that. You know, and I know, or at least I know, the Levi for sure knows, what his intentions are. So does that change the halach? So the truth is, the machlokes is Rishen. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about talking. He just says that what? Noisin ain't of the Levi's men. The Levi makes up in his head. Now, we don't know what's in the Levi's head, but the Levi knows what's in the Levi's head. If the Levi says to himself, the guy sits next to me in shul, I know he does well for himself, I'm going to send him an early Shal Chmanis this year because I might need a loan to pay for Pesach. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's about... Now, I never say a word. I never write on the basket that I want a loan from you later. I never write on the basket, have in mind I might need a... Nothing. Garnish. I just send him a present. But since there's Noisin Einov, that's my cheshbin, I'm already in violation of the Yisr. Now, the Achorayim point out, we'll see this in a few minutes.
I just decide, you know what, he's going to do me a tova. I don't even want him to know it's me. But Lamais, I'm that type of guy that really wants to express the gratitude. I give him an anonymous gift.
I'm not sure. Well.
Because there's nothing now to tie me to the...
I guess if he doesn't know it came from you, I guess it can't be a problem. What happens if you give him the gift and he rejects the loan? Are you not evil amafre? How does this work? Your whole cheshbon is, this is supposed to get you a loan. Therefore, you're kind of, trying to butter him up. But let's say he doesn't buy it. You know, he gets the present, he takes it. And then when you come 2 months later, he says, no, I'm sorry, I have no money to lend you. So we'll see in a second that you're taken out of it. It's mitlo toloi, you'll be over l'mafreya. But if the guy never takes the bait, you're not going to be over. That's one case. But look at the Ramah. Zog the Ramah haga, upeirush b'shvil shal yilvo. And you spoke it out. You wrote on the card, by the way, use this gift basket because I might want a loan later. Ah, that changes the whole sugya. So there's the Mefarshim point out, this seems to be a very serious thing. Do you need to speak out to be in violation or not? According to the Ramah, if I don't speak out, I send you a beautiful basket just to wish you a good Shabbat. I don't say a word, nothing. So according to the simple reading of the Ramah, you would not be in a violation of Ribbis Mugdemis or Mulcheris. Except, Oishahu Matona Miruba, or I give him a huge gift. Why? Says the Ramah, Umistam Ahavaki Ilu Pirishlam. So the Shach just changes the gears to 6b. Matonim ruba de mistama havek yipirishlo. If I send you a huge gift, that's basically as guilty as me saying I'm sending you this gift because I want to borrow money from you. Meaning, the reason why the Ramah holds that you need to speak it out is because no one really knows. Am I being nice? Am I being friendly? Or do I have an agenda? But if I send you something which obviously needs, what's matonim ruba? Obviously, if the guy's very wealthy, the standard of matonim ruba is going to go up. If he's not so wealthy, matonim ruba can be $5. So that's going to be very complicated, we'll see. But therefore, says the Ramah, if I give you a very large gift, so it's all over my face that I am doing the Vesalavah, therefore it becomes us. That seems to be the ruling of the Ramah.
Would it basically be anything you would not normally do for the guy? Like, if normally our relationship...
That's one way.
Erev Shabbos, I often send you a little
right.
Gift.
So if let's say you're a neighbor, if I have extra kugel, I'll send it over to you next door. My wife made extra kugel, extra challah. So then that might be normal transaction. It's not nicker. We'll talk about, I don't know if we'll get to all of it, but there's discussion of Paiskim, something I'd say b'fahes, if I do it in front of the whole shul, do it in front of the whole community. And I'm the guy in the shul, I never ever give you an aliyah. All of a sudden, 2 weeks before the loan, I give you a shlishi, every Shabbos. Okay, something strange. So that's also a discussion. It has to be that it's not clear that I'm trying to butter you up. Yeah.
Does it make a difference if it's actually money versus a gift? So like if you give someone $50 as a Hanukkah present, does that make a difference as opposed to giving them flowers or a gift basket?
I don't think so. It's not going to make a difference.
It's not going to make a difference. It's actual cash.
It's anything of value. I gave him value, so it's a form of ribbis. Yeah. It could be, even a compliment might be a problem. We'll have to get the little late tonight. Compliments. Can
but
be a problem.
Taking him out for a meal would be the same.
I think so, yeah. I think so. Take the guy out to dinner, and then a month later, we'll have to talk about the time span, obviously. It can't mean if you give a guy a present now, you can't borrow money from him 10 years from now. There has to be some form of limitation. But yeah, that would be a good example also. You take him out to dinner, and then all of a sudden you ask him a few weeks later for a loan. That could be a problem. So again, according to the Ramah, if you normally take up people to eat, and him as well, and you never once during the dinner ever said anything about the loan, you went out for a nice dinner and spent time together, and 3 months later you ask him for a loan. So that would be okay according to Ramah. According to the Mechaber, perhaps not. According to the Mechaber, if in your mind, when you set up this dinner, you were scheming to be able to get a loan out of this guy, you'd already be in a violation of Ribbis Mukdemis. What's Ribbis Mu'ucheres, says the Mechaber? Same case. That what? You gave the money back already. Then you send him a present. Ribbis Mu'ucheres. Vim Avavas, again, I raise the Avak Ribbis. It's Ribbis the Rabban, not Ribbis Ksusa, Ribbis the Raisa. but definitely not something we want to have a part in. So the Shach points out over here, which is l'chayra pretty clear, what happens if there's a lapse of time? There's got to be, you know, there's no time limit. I can't give you a present 10 years later. I can't give you a present and then I paid you back. And then 10 years later, I want to send you a present. There's got to be some form of a time limit. So the Shach writes, there's only two pieces of the Shach. I only photocopy the second half. The first piece of the Shach is where he argues on the Ramah. And the Shach holds that no. If we know that why you wanted to give it, even though you never said a word, and it's a small gift. Sent him, you know, we'll call something a small. Let's make believe flowers is a small gift. I send the guy flowers 3 weeks before I ask for a loan. So according to the simple reading of the Ramah, that's fine. I never said a word. Says the Shach, no, that's no good. We all know why you're doing it. So this is a very fundamental machlokes between the Shach and the Ramah. What do you do in a case where I'm sending you a gift? It's a matana mu'etta. It's a small gift. I'm not sending you something massive, whatever that. A small gift. Send you a challah, an extra kugel, something that we all agree is a matana mu'etta. And I never say a word. So according to the Ramah, that's mutter. According to the Shach, that's awesome. How do we paskin? So we'll see how the Achrayin paskin. But the second half of the Shach, which is muskin bakoil, is what? Says the Shach, number 7. Because of Beis Yosef, Dafka somach tzas lava. This whole story has to be when it's somewhat close to the loan. What that means, obviously, in this discussion. Ava b'mufleges harbe. If it's so far removed, ain't lochash klal. There's nothing to be worried about. V'afilu matana ruba. Even if I wanted to give him a massive present, buy the guy a new computer. I think that we can all agree that's probably matana ruba, right? Send the guy a new a laptop. Buy him, you know, something like that. Nami shari kosher hustam. As long as you didn't say a word, separated, that should be okay. Venira, the beferish, but again, if you spoke it out, afilu mu'etes aser, afilu mufleges harbe. Zog the Shach, but if at any time you wrote on the card, or you expressed to him, this is in lieu of a loan in the future, or a loan in the past, done, over, awesome. So according to the Shach, being vague is the way to go, if you don't want to be over on Ribbis Mukdemis or Ribbis Mukhebis. Now,
is Ribbis only on only tied to monetary things? Like if I doing something for you because I want you to do something for me, but not a loan.
It might. Depends if there's a certain value to it. It depends on, they talk about, let's say we exchange meals. I make meal for you one night and you make a meal for me the next night. So if my meal tops your meal, is that going to be ribbis? That's a shayla.
But honestly, you give a wedding gift, somebody gives $100, the other guy gives you $200, that's ribbis?
No.
So why would it be an exchange? It sounds like it's going beyond. In other words, somebody's having a whatever. They have a pot party, whatever they call it, on a Friday night. Everybody brings some food. Somebody brought the main and somebody brought the dessert. You know what? The dessert only costs $12 in the main.
It depends how you dehair where these exchanges are taking place.
I mean, a person wants to help somebody. Sometimes bringing these alone. So you say to yourself, you know what? I'm not sure if you pay back. Here's the money. If you pay me back, would they agree? If you don't, you don't.
Right, so that's what we saw.
So he's not allowed to say thank you, also.
Hey, we're going to get to it. We're going to get it. Hold on, we'll get it. Big machlokes achrayim, if you're allowed to say thank you when people loan you money.
Maybe a gift.
Well, what?
For a gift, you're allowed to say thank you.
For sure.
So the guy says,
right, so if Itaka gives it a gift, kavalik. But if he wants to loan, we saw yet last week from the Avos Chesed, Mr. Brewer said, the Gilyon Marsha, Shulchan Aruch said, the greatest gift you can give is not a handout. People don't like handouts. People like loan. They feel like a mensch. They don't feel like a Nebuch case. That's what he writes. So therefore, L'chayra, we'll see, Machlokes of Moshe and Abshalom Zalman about whether or not you're allowed to say thank you. We'll see, Blined, we'll get to that as well.
Do these rules apply if the loan is with a heter iska? I mean, if you wanted to draw someone to lend money with a heter iska, but beforehand you said...
Yeah, so heter iskas are tricky because... There's a machlokes achrayim if you can even have a heter iska for a personal loan. Pasha's heter iska is really only for commercial, for business, for profit. If a guy borrows money to buy his house, you don't really have any profit in my house unless you flip it, or you could flip it. That's where Moshe's chap. That's how Moshe got around using heter iskas for personal loans. So yeah, let's... I'm not sure. If you have a heter iska, so that's not a loan anymore. So if it's not a loan, then there's no... Meaning, the same way if someone invests money with you, you're allowed to take him out to dinner. That's how everyone makes money. How do you get someone to invest with you? Take him out to eat. You send him presents, right? It's not a loan. You're not loaning with me. You're investing with me. Investing is by definition different than a loan. How heter iska works is a lot to discuss. So how does this all work at Halacha L'maisa? So if you look in number 8, the Sefer Bris Yehuda, I quote from it quite often this evening because he's one of the earlier Svarim, was written by Rav Bloy, the same person who wrote the Piskei Choshen, Achish Mishpat. He's one of the earliest, you know, established Svarim, Rav Bloy. He was a banker in Eretz Yisrael. There's different versions of the story. Depends which which level of religiosity of paper you read to how long was he a banker. The more religious papers say he was like a banker for 3 weeks. Other papers say he was a banker his whole life. He learned Torah at night. But the more religious papers say, no, he was a banker for like, just when he was learning Ezu Neshach, and he wanted to understand Ribbis, then he went into the bank, and then after that he went back to Yeshiva. I don't know which story is true or not, but he definitely spent some time as a banker of Bloy in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a lot of things on Chayesh Mishpah that we all use very often. And the more Ribbis books that came out, they all use his as the... at least the springboard for getting to Halacha L'maaseh. One of the great books, if you want to do Ribbis reading in English, is Rabbi Yisrael Reisman wrote one. It's a green sefer called Halicha something. It's in English. That's a great sefer to use if you want to read up more on Hilchos Ribbis in English. Very mesudar, footnotes and details. It's he did a great job. He wrote that many years ago. He wrote that when he was still considering himself a young member of the Kollel. Now I think he's one of the head Rosh Yeshivas in the Yeshiva now. So he must have wrote, I think he wrote almost 35 years ago. It's a very, very well-written book. If you deal more with Hilchos Ribbis, and you want to, and he has a lot to do with Heter Iska and companies and corporations, which we're not getting to at all tonight, but if you want to have a good read, it's a terrific sefer with tons of Maamar Mekarim and actual copies of Heter Iskas if you need one for your own personal or business needs. Nonetheless, in the sefer Bris Yehuda, he writes in this number 8. What do we do? What do you do in the case of a guy sends a gift 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 10 days or 5 days before he anticipates a loan or hopes to get a loan and he doesn't say a word, he just sends the gift? Is that ribbis mukdemes or not? According to the Shach it is, according to Ramah it's not. Says the Bris Yehuda, you don't say a word, send the gift. If it's a small gift, mutter. Even if, let's say, it's like around the time, he's talking about Ribbis and Mucheres, it's around the time, that would be okay. Why? Because that's what the Ramon Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch said, as long as I don't say a word, I keep my mouth shut, it's not a matona meruba, it's not a massive present, it's a smaller present, which again, is very hard to gauge. It might depend on the recipient. That would be okay. They do point out the Achronim, and I didn't have it on my Yitzhak HaChon, or I couldn't find it. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, was Machmer. He thought, no. He thought that, like the Shach, he thought that if you're going to give a gift, even if you don't speak it out, but we all know what you know, and you know why you're doing it, it's awesome. So he writes on the bottom, the Ramosho Mechen Askamas HaPoiskim, U'Bishochan Aruch HaRav Kosv Sheish LaHachmir La'atzmai La'asar Afilu B'Stam. He writes that, many Achronim write this, that the Shochan Aruch HaRav wasn't being Machmer for you, he was being Machmer for himself. Meaning he himself would have never done that. You could be Samech HaRamah. He personally was not Samech on the Ramah. So many of the contemporary Svarim write, Halach Lamaisa, you could be Samech on the Ramah. So if you want to send a present to someone and hope that he'll send you, give you a loan, so you just send it to him, make sure it's not a Matana Merubah, make sure you don't give any reason to why you're sending the present. The Chai Adam writes like that in the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam writes that Ava Hamal V'Mutal Kabu Muflug Yomim Harbei Min Halva. Again, we mentioned that the Shach said that if there's some form of time elapse between the asking of the loan or the repayment of the loan, it's not a problem. How many days? So the Chayodim writes, Yomim Harbe, many days. Well, how many days are many? That's a pretty vague statement. So the Chayodim clearly holds like the Ramah, that as long as there's a time elapse, and he says clear, Im loy sha'am aloy beferish, as long as you didn't say explicitly. So according to the Chayodim, you're going to be okay. But again, the moment you open your mouth, you're done. Once you say specifically, you're in trouble. So again, if it's close to the halva, it's got to be a matana mu'etis. If it's distance from the halva, it could be a matana meruba, but you can never be mefarish. You can never ever say, for the same matter, or write on the gift, this is as a thank you, this is as an appreciation. All of that ruins the whole thing, makes a ribbis mukdemis or mu'cheris. We'll talk about that more tonight. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe small amounts, at least on a rabbinic level, will not create a problem of ribs. So Reb Shmuel Vosner in Shevet HaLevi discusses, well, what's the time frame for this? This is very negeya. A guy lends you money Sukkot time. You pay the money back by Hanukkah. Now it's Pesach time. You want to send him a Ka'ara plate. Right? He lent you money. You were able to make a great investment. You turned a terrific profit. You want to send him a nice Ka'ara plate. Can you do that? So again, let's work it out. According to the Ramah, you're going to send him a Ka'ara plate and say nothing. But what's a let's assume a Ka'ara is a Matan Meruba. Send him an expensive car, not the cheap plastic one. You get a nice one. Right? So that's a Matan Meruba. Matan Meruba is also according to Ramah. But it's Maflagas Mant. Did enough time elapse between Chanukah and Pesach? What's the time limit? It's not clear. So Reb Shmuel Vosner writes, it's not clear. Omnom. Hashir, number 10. Zokter Reb Shmuel Vosner. Omnom. Hashir Shemuflagas Harbe Loinis Barbe Poiskim. It's not clear how much time needs to elapse. And this is, I think this is more negay than we think. Many times a person wants to repay the favor. He figures, I can't be ribbis. The guy went to yeshiva. He says, I know ribbis. Ribbis is only before the money's paid. I paid him back Chanukah time. We're all done with each other. No, it's not so. Shulchan Aruch says clearly not like that. It still could be ribbis mu'ucheris. But the Ramos, the Shach says, as long as time elapsed. Well, how much time? So Shmuvazda writes, he quotes the Darkei Tshuva, who says, the Shehu yoim acher haperoim. You gotta wait one day after you pay him back. Oh, that's easy. One day. Like the first day after you pay him back, you're not that excited yet, you know. You just had to give him money. You wait a day, then you pay him, no problem. So that's obviously very mekel de geshit. But Shmuvaz is not very keen on assuming it's just one day later. So he concludes, So the Shmuvaz, it might depend on the relationship you have with this fellow. Meaning, you lent him money Sukkot time. He paid you back Chanukah time. Now what happened after that? Says Shmuvaz, V'rak achakach sholach lo deron. But you had a mekachu memka b'nei b'inyanach. You masu mata b'nei b'inyanach. You had dealings with each other in other areas, not the loan, but other things. Then shalach lo deron. Zel loy havi machmas hala alva. Then it's not considered connected to the loan. V'yeshlus mechazeh b'yem sheni. Then maybe you can rely on it the next day. Oy muflik harbe b'zman gam b'lizeh. So the way Shmuvaz sets it up is it has to be that we talked more than just the loan. Meaning, we did other business together, we had other interactions with each other, then it's okay. But again, not if you're mefarish. Once you're mefarish, you're done. So the only heter is going to be if you're vague, and it's a matana merubah, and a lot of time has elapsed. In Bris Yehuda, number 11, he writes,
where did he know this from about the lahakim purpose? Like, where's the source?
Came from the Mishnah. We read it together in the Mishnah.
Okay, where's the Mishnah?
Yeah, that's a question. That's why it's only the Rabbanan. Yeah, 100%. It's only the Rabbanan. But again, I think these are probably more likely that will be over than Ribbis Daraisa. Ribbis Daraisa, everyone knows. They had to risk, no had to risk. These are perhaps Maisim B'Cholayim that people are just not aware of.
The answer alone, the concept is so, if you tie it, it's about a loan, but it's an advance of a loan, and you still go over it.
Yeah, that's the Chiddush. That's why it's a Gevaldige Chiddush. It could be over something. Again, you only over once there was a loan, but at least it's a preemptive type of idea that you're over lemafreya when you bought him supper that night when he gave you a loan 3 months later. That's the way it comes out.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll get to that. We're almost there. So if you just take a look very quickly, number 11 in the Sefer Bris Yehuda, he writes, V'yeshu stop igam b'shir samach u'muflig. Again, we have the same question. What's samach and what's muflig? How much time frame? So he writes, he thought it's not clear enough to him in the Poiskim. Enough that you already forgot the loan. I mean, it's old news already. Oh, I lent you money 5 months ago. I don't remember. So again, that might depend on the Malva. That might depend on you. Very hard to know. But I would feel comfortable. I think it's something like, between Pesach and Sukkot, 3-4 months, maybe even a week. I think that's probably a fair enough time to be muflug, to be able to get around the problem. If you look at Divrei Soifim, that's another great Sefer, that's in Hebrew, a great Sefer called Divrei Soifim. He wrote on a lot of Geshmaka topics. He wrote on Yichud. He's got the way he lays out the Sefer, it's great. So there he has this Ha'ara. He says, number 12, Meloshin Zemash, Medav Kedim Shelvu, Yesh Yisra B'Nesidus HaRibis. Ki B'Shalos HaRibis B'Shal Sheyavo. And we call Mokam Isra Zeh, Mitlo V'Toli Koshim, Yavul B'Soif, Ovar Alis Ma'frey, V'im Lo Yavul Lo Yavul. This whole idea of bribe, ribis mukdemes, it really depends on if there's ever a loan at the end. If I do ribis, now you could have argued, you could have said, no, ribis mukdemes is also betzim. As long as we know that's your intention, maybe you're already in a violation of the rabbon. He's saying, no, ribis mukdemes is also if Hitaka ends up giving you the loan. If he doesn't end up giving you the loan, you wouldn't be over the mafreya on ribis mukdemes. Okay. So that's all ribis mukdemes, ribis mukheres. Now there's another category, which we saw before in the Gemara, called ribis devarim, about being makdim loy shalom. Says the Shulchan Aruch, number 13. Im loy ha-yiroga la-hakdim loy shalom. If you normally would never say shalom. Now again, the word shalom is difficult to translate. We translate it as a greeting. We'll see, perhaps there's more than that. But let's just go with that now. Let's say you normally would never greet the mav. You don't like him. You're not his friend. You don't talk to him. You don't say good morning to him. You don't normally talk to him. But the day after he lent you money, all of a sudden now, you greet him. Says the Mechaber, osel la-hakdim loy. You're not allowed to do that. That's ribis dvarim. Again, rabbinically usher, agreed. But that's ribis devarim. You're not allowed to say things to him that you normally wouldn't say to him, and you're only saying it because he was nice enough to lend you money. Says the Birkei Yosef on the side of the new Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Davke b'oid shamois b'yaday. Ribis devarim is unique. It's only while the loan is still out there. Even though ribis mucheres is by definition after the loan was paid back. Says the Birkei Yosef, not so with ribis devarim. Avo acha sheparet. But let's say he paid him up. And Stamos, hey, the day after you pay up the loan, you see him in the street, show me then it's mutter to say good morning to him, all those things are mutter. Says the Beki Yosef, it doesn't make sense because the guy once sent me money for the rest of my life, I can never greet him. It seems very, very strange. Okay, so this is very negeh halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Saul Reisman writes in his sefer that he thinks yaktim lo shalom includes saying good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, good Shabbos, things like that. So that's very negeh. Like a guy borrows, a guy lends you money and you don't normally talk to him. You know, yesh logim, why don't you talk to him? Is it because you never met him before in your life? Or because you talk, just don't like the guy and you don't want to give him a fancy, nice greeting? So if you look in the Sefer Divrei Sofim number 15, he says, I don't get this whole halacha. What's going on over here? He's gevaldik. He says, V'ikir din zeh tzorichi in tuva. It's very troubling. Let's say I never met this guy before in my life. And I only met him because I need to come to him to borrow money. So you know why I'm saying hello to him now? Because now I know he exists in the world. Till now, I never met the guy. This guy has a wonderful guy. He lives in a community I don't know of, and he lends people money. So I finally was introduced to him, and then I met him 2 months later at a chasana. So you know why I said hello to him? Because now I know he exists. That's also what type of issue is that? That's one kash. Then he says, the aim limit, don't tell me. Maybe you'll tell me that the Shulchan Aruch means not stop if we meet each other in the street. It means I'm not allowed to get out of my way, knock on his door, or find him and chase him down to the grocery store and say, you know, good morning. So the Shulchan Aruch, first of all, it's not true, because it's also in any case, even if you're not mashmal pischa. So how does this work? We're just going to skip a little bit to the next paragraph. Another problem. Wow. Shari mashma dafka lahaktim asr. It sounds like you're only not allowed to initiate. Let's say the Malva comes over to you. The Malva comes over to you and greets you. You're not allowed to greet him back. I thought you're allowed to greet him back. Why? Because what are you giving him? That you have to be Maxim Shalom. So Frank Tim, he says, I don't get it. Why am I saying good morning to you? Because instead, I beat you to the punch. Instead of you saying good morning, I say good morning to you. But it's a reciprocal experience. So why is it ever us? What's this all about? So he ends up writing, is that he borrowed. So what's this whole iser? It's only shim lo yahaya haloy v'maktim shalom lo yahamal v'oymer lo shalom. Kain shalay pogu zebzeh. We didn't really cross paths. Ela haloy v'mitzer elafonav loymer lo shalom. I see him. Avo im pogu zebzeh b'derech. We meet each other in shul. We walk out of shul together. Then I want to say good night to you. I want to say good Shabbos. Mutter lo loy v'laktim loymer shalom. So that takes a lot of the ear out of this idea. You know, you're walking each other down the street. You know, that's what people do. So according to him, this whole din of not saying good morning to each other is really very limited. It's only if Dafka, the case is, he didn't see you and you initiate, but if you guys are passing each other, walking out of shul together, walking to the grocery store together, it would not be a violation to say shalom to each other. The Torah Tamima, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, writes in his commentary...
Why is giving shalom like rules?
That's what I'm going to get to. Oh. What's significant about saying shalom to someone? Right, when someone says good morning to me, I don't feel like I got anything more than I had a second ago. It's a request. I hope you have a good morning. We'll see that shalom might really be divrei bracha. It might be a bracha. You should have a good day. You should be successful. That's a bracha.
And so what?
That's giving you more than you had before.
But I would do that to anybody.
That's a shalom nachrayim. I'd say I would do that to anyone. If I'm just one of those friendly guys,
right,
I just give out free brachas, so that it might be mutter. That's a shalom. And lechanam.
I mean, you don't have
a
mind.
If you just want to become a friendly guy.
What'd you say?
You just want to become a friendly guy.
Now all of a sudden you want to talk to everyone on the sun. There are people like that. They talk to everyone and anyone. So then those guys might
talk to everyone else to see that they can get something.
That might also be their chesed. So the Torah Tamima talks about this shaila about saying thank you. Right? Saying thank you. Would thank you be a ribbis devar? So let's work it out. Shulchan Aruch talks about a case of yachdim lo shalom. You give him shalom. What's shalom? Shalom is greetings. So what's a thank you? Thank you is also technically a greeting. So the Torah Tamima talks about it. He writes in the middle. He says, "V'yesh lohoyer im nochen haminig shemakirin toda ish lechaveir ba'ad alvaz gimlas chesed im ein bazem shem ribis varm." Again, apparently, writing in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that was a nice thing to do. Is when someone lends you money, you say thank you. Okay, that's I think still true today. I hope. Again, someone will tell you it's not mutter, so you're not allowed to. Okay, we'll get to that. So he writes, Yeshloim akivah demimidas derech eretz lohoide ze lozeh ala tircha. The reason why I'm doing it is really just a mere appreciation for tircha. Ein hoido kizu musebes al guf halva. This thank you is not really connected to the loan, ki im ala tirchas hadavar. I don't know what those words mean, to be honest with you. I don't know exactly what he means by that. And if I pay you ribbis, isn't that also because of the tircha? I mean, he says that when you say thank you, I'm not thanking you for the loan. I'm thanking you for all the background that made the loan happen. You have to go to the bank and you have to take the money. I mean, the actual loan I'm not allowed to thank you for because that's ribbis. I'm thanking you for the background information. So why can't I give you interest for that also? I'm not giving you interest on the loan. The loan you have to lend me without interest. I'm thanking you because you had to push that button on your phone that took your money to my account. And now I have the money. I don't really know exactly how this works. But he already seems to be matir saying thank you as a and does not fit into Ribbis Dvar.
But then he said he had a good monetary value. Very hard to
that's what I want to get to.
Thank you to every time that you go.
Exactly.
For nothing.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to get to. That's Ibn Shalom Mizalman's Nakud.
By the way, does anyone compare the, you know, this Indian of like the paying somebody on Shabbos, in other words, for their work? In other words, it's no different, you know, like al schar batalo. So it's the same thing here. In other words, you could say, listen, I'm not thanking you for the actual loan, but I'm thanking you for the bother and this and that.
So that's what we're going to get to. We're going to talk about these types of shalos. Many times, people justify some of these. So again, some types of ribbis could be justified that I'm paying you extra for the work that you did, not necessarily for the money that you lent me. Let's talk about a creative shayla, which actually came up a few weeks ago. Let's say you send your kids out to buy pizza. Let's assume they have their own money. You send your adult children who live on their own. That's a big statement today, right? Yeah, theoretical. When they get old enough, when they're already grandparents and they're old enough, so they live on their own and they don't use your credit cards anymore. And you tell your kid, listen, do me a favor, go pick up pizza for the family. So he goes and picks up pizza, he lays out his money, and the pizza cost $18. True story, someone came to me with this shayla a few weeks ago. Pizza cost $18. So you as a good father, you give him $20. That's what good fathers do. You don't ask for $2 back, right? You give him two extra dollars. Why is that not ribbis?
That's more of a present, though, right?
So the question is, A is a present, but we'll see. The Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is ribbis with family is also us.
It's not a loan.
Well, you lent out the money. You laid out the money.
No, but
you
got it's not a loan.
It's a shalichas.
Ah, so that's the question. Is that true? Yeah. What would happen to the pizza in between? The pizza would get ruined. Who would have to pay for the pizza?
Definitely the father.
Father always gets stuff. He didn't have to buy two pizzas to pay back. So that's a big shayla, which I wanted to get to sometime tonight. I don't know if we'll get to it. These types of things. I ask you to go buy me something. Go to the store and buy me something. I had the shayla also. That's what motivated me to give this shir. Someone asked me, he asked a friend of his or a sibling of his to go online and buy him something. The thing cost $399. So instead of giving him $399, you give him $4, $400, things like that. So can you argue that he really laid out the money? He lent me money and now I'm paying him back ribbis. That's not ribbis. Or he bought the object for $399 or $399 and then he's selling it to me for $400. So how's the pizza work? Is it pshat that the kid bought the pizza for himself with his own money and then he's giving the pizza back to his father? So I'm charging $20 for pizza that costs $18. Okay, that's
the delivery charge.
That's my delivery charge. I was metapa with it. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, no, the extra $2 is because I was at work and I didn't want to go get the pizza and I was already getting phone calls from the house that everyone's hungry. So I'm paying you for...
But we're buying pizza.
You're not. You're lending money.
No, you're not.
Of course you are.
No, you're not.
Why is that not lending money?
Because you buy pizza.
Yeah, shladen. But again, that would depend. If something were to happen to... Okay, let's make it more complicated. Now we're really getting off that.
If you give him the credit card, it's shadows, right?
Whose credit card? His credit card. Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
Yeah, but we're going to have to talk about, which we still didn't get to tonight, is credit cards. Credit cards. Credit card is a really fancy version of a halva. That's all a credit card is. So when you go to a store and there's two prices in the store, the cash is low and the credit card's higher. So everyone opts for the cash, right? But let's say you don't have cash on you. That happens all the time. You don't have cash. The guy tells you if you buy cash, it's $95. It's credit card's $100. That's ribbis. You're not allowed to buy it. Yeah, we're going to...
Why didn't you say it's the fee?
So the problem with the fee is it really the fee that he says it is? Often it's not that much money. Often the reason why he's doing it is because credit card, he doesn't get the money right away. Cash, he gets the money right away. So that's why he's willing to change the price. That's ribbis.
No, he's doing it for tax purposes.
As a separate from... No, that's the other way around. That's a different issue. That I have on... Again, I have that on the booklet also from Rav Shech to Kohen for Rabbi Salvation. That he thought that's awesome. If you go to a store and they tell you cash is this and credit card's that, so he says you're not allowed to use cash. But now, you might not be allowed to use a credit card either now because there might be ribbis. So you might have to write a check. But when you write the check, it might depend how you write out the check. If you write it out to cash, you're back to square one. So these are some of the things that people need to think about. Now, some stores you can buy things on real credit. That was the old way of doing credit. Real credit. So again, in business world, you can still do things like that. That's really ribbis. That's credit cards are also just people have a hard time.
Why is that ribbis?
Because they're lending you money.
Yeah,
That's ribbis.
Let's think like the old grocery stores. You know, you have a cheshbon, you pay at the end of the
that's
month.
That's right. Because they lend
why
you money.
Ribbis? I'm paying my bill.
That's right. You're paying your bill plus more.
Cause, more.
Because they're lending you money. That's right. Right.
Every week I spend $300 in the groceries. At the end of the month I can give you $1,200. Why is that?
Because in essence, well, that's ribbis, what we call ribbis derech mekel chomemka. Right? Because he gave you more time to pay back the loan.
It wasn't a loan.
I guess you better. Now, it's something we call the ribbis derech mekel chomemka, maybe. But in essence, he lends you the money. He lent you money. You know, to buy the goods in the store.
But he's not getting more than he normally would. If he charges $100 and you give him $100, even if you paid him a month later.
Right, that's fine. But again, if I go to the store and they tell me cash 95, credit card 100.
No. So that's. I'm talking about regular. You know, it's the old time groceries. Let's say your bill and you pay it at the end of the month. That's not ribbis.
If you pay your bill on time, that's fine. But if you pay, if they tell you that if you buy this can of your bottle of soda for right now, it's a dollar.
It's whatever it is. In other words, let's say every week you have a bill for $300.
Fine, that's not ribbis.
You pay $1,200. That's not ribbis.
You pay whatever you owe. You owe 12. Yeah, that's fine. So after getting sidetracked, so let's just see Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay, I really didn't want to do ribbis another week, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe we need to.
We don't go more than one daf in 10 years.
I know. Just so if I forget, next week Blineda, we're going to meet next week Wednesday night. Because next week is at least I know different communities have different vacation dates, but in the Queens schools the kids were off next week. So as it says somewhere in Shulchan Aruch, you have to go away when your kids are off from school. I'm still trying to find the where it says that. I don't know yet, but I have to go away anyway. So Blineda will have the show Wednesday instead of Tuesday. But just to finish up, so Shlomo Zalman has two tshuvas about saying thank you on a loan. So one tshuva, Menachas Shloim, number 17, Chelik Aleph, he tanns like this. Kosav Achroinim, the who had the name Shloim, Haloi v'lamal v'toda. You're not allowed to say thank you. For Rabbim, no, you give me Shem Kach, and Divazak, Shem Zalm, this is beauty. People don't want to say thank you, so what do they say instead? So they say, Tiskul l'mitzvahs. Zak, Shem Zalm, and his deity, lo yofa emoisim, that's worse. Ki Tiskul l'mitzvahs, he mamish bracha. That's, thank you is not a bracha. Thank you is an expression of appreciation. So that's yesh lodim if that's awesome. But Zaktim Shem Zalman, Tisku Lemitzvah means you should be Zechel. That's a beautiful bracha. We say it all the time, we don't think about it. It's a beautiful bracha. You should merit to do mitzvahs. That's a beautiful bracha. Says Shem Zalman, that's for sure, Aser. Why? Because Shem Zalman believes that the principal idea of Ribbis Dvarim is things like blessings. That's giving you something. Saying thank you is not giving you anything. What do I give you? It's an expression of my appreciation. But a bracha is valued. So therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, therefore he writes at the end, "V'ilu amiris todah chushvani de'ein bozeh shom iser." So Shlomo Zalman, I see nothing wrong with saying thank you. However, umash also lachtim shalom haynu mipnei shehi bracha. You're not allowed to give him brachas. Oh, you should live long and you should be successful and the kids should get shaduchim. That's aser. What's a thank you? It's merely an expression of my feelings. So why am I not allowed to tell him that some godl came to town? And they should, that's because I'm doing something for you. I'm not allowed to, Taz writes this line. When I tell you something, I feel like I have to do it for you. Saying thank you is not a have to. Saying thank you is just natural response. Therefore, says Ibn Shlomo, he sees nothing wrong with saying thank you, and he thinks Tiskul Mitzvah is worse. So the problem is, Ibn Shlomo retracted, and Mincha Shloim Mechelik Beis, Ibn Shlomo took it back. And there he writes, no. He says, I wrote many years earlier in the Yarchan Moriah, that's mutter to say thank you. But then I was notified. But then I found in Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he says no. He says it's not only things of bracha, but it's really anything. Any nice words are also in violation of Ribbis Dvarim. Therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I retract my opinion. I now no longer permit the recitation of thank you. Because I thought it's only giving brachas. Because you get something. What do you get out of a thank you? Nothing. It's just what you say. You give me a bracha, everyone loves brachas. You give him, you flatter him. Oh, you're such a sweet person. You're so wonderful. You're so amazing. I thought that's just not nice. It's not a mensch. I thought you have to at least express that I appreciate what was done. I understand you gave up a lot. You even lost making money off on me because you can't limber ribbis. That's an appreciation. Even though even though Shlomo Zalman is like a little bit mixed about this. He says, I thought that this is right and this is okay, but then I saw Shulchan Charav and I wrote on the side of my Shulchan Aruch that I retracted it. So it sounds like if Shlomo Zalman took it back, he no longer thinks he could say anything. They quote B'Shem Abliyashev, the Abliyashev thought thank you is okay. He thought thank you is like this cheshbon. Well, what are you doing? You're not giving back, you're not making him feel better. When you say thank you for a loan, you're not making the guy feel, that's not Ribbis Dvarim. I'm giving you, what am I giving you? I'm just telling you what people would expect.
But thank
you?
Oh, no,
it says you can't say Ribbis Dvarim. It doesn't say what Ribbis Dvarim is. Shulchan Aruch talked about a case of being Makdim Shalom. So Shlomo Zalman will tell you, Shalom is a bracha. So again, let's go back to the good morning case. I'm not so sure why good morning should be a problem. Am I really giving you a bracha that you should have a good morning? Of course not. It's merely a greetings that, you know, good morning, good afternoon, good Shabbat. Is good Shabbat a bracha that you should have a good... Of course, I don't think anyone thinks like that. This is just a greeting, you know, like hello. There's a discussion if hello is She'ela Shalom. Hello is a greeting, it's not anything. She'ela Shalom used to mean that I was inquiring, I was wondering, I was curious, how you're doing, and you should go well. That's a deeper level of conversation. A mere good morning, it's interesting that Rabbi Reisman writes, he thinks good morning is also, I'm not so sure why. I don't think good morning is a bracha.
You should choke your brother, right? Because he should be...
Right.
You're not demanding a hello.
Correct.
And we always say, lo lam yadam. The way a Jew is, he's always to be a good conventional.
Yeah,
so
I think...
It's common courtesy to just do it. I don't understand why
if you learn, right? So if you learn like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's talking giving brachas. You don't have to give brachas.
You don't have to, but why are you prohibited from that?
Because that's giving him more than he started off with.
I didn't choke the guy; I gave him a loan for $100.
Right, so I'm not allowed to give him back more. The Rabbanan, said.
We thought the idea is because you should. Right.
So the Rabbanan again. Some of these Rabbanans are a little bit beyond the normal understanding of ribbis. They're a little different than the regular ribbis, so therefore it's awesome.
And I know we're not doing that risk or whatever, but it sounds like the Rabbanan for such a strong halachas with our rice, which are usher, how does one piece of paper do it because of the fact that, you know, really the whole, it's true,
I agree.
One man not make bones, but the mice, this is such a strong isser.
Yeah, it's the thing. That's why I think it's kedai at least to learn the Rabbanans of them, because again, the rice, everyone says clear, but these the Rabbanans, people really don't know much about them. They're really mice and the
choyer.
You gotta be careful. Yeah, you got to be very careful because again, you could be held accountable also the Levi. Now we're going to see, we didn't get to it. The Divrei Sefer has a kash. He says, I don't get it. Didn't we learn from the Ramah that Rib is the Rabban and the Levi is not over? Every case of Rib is Devarim, the Levi is always over, and it's only Rib is Devarim, it's only Rib is the Rabbanan. How does that work? So he has a shot how that works. But we didn't finish with the thank yous and we didn't finish with the gaz. Okay, I don't know. Should we do another part? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Just one quick.
I'm a little ribbist out myself over here.
One quick question though.
Yeah.
So someone lends you money, they say they're ill. Can you not do bigger calling?
And then what?